If you think you have room to grow, you do. And you will. If you think you are as good as you can be, you're right. And you won't get any better. Everybody has room to improve. Rashid Craig and Richard Bradley. Imagine this, family. You're leading your project, and then all of a sudden, it falls apart because of small habits you forgot to keep up with. How would it feel to really realize that you are the reason for your team's struggle? In today's episode, I'm going to uncover some habits that could make or break your career and success. Mind if I share a story? I remember I was, before I fell in love with this thing called project management, I was searching for what I wanted to do with my career, with my life. And I remember sending out applications, and then I got one back that I was super excited about because of the fact that this was an opportunity that I knew had growth potential. So I go to the interview, I guess I do well, because then as I'm getting ready to wrap up the interview, well, them wrapping up the interview, they asked me, could I stay a little bit longer? I said, sure, no problem. So then they take me over to the VP, I think it was the VP and director. I interview with them. I guess that went well because then they asked me, could I stay a little bit longer? Then they put me through this simulation. And in this simulation, it was chaos. I mean, pure chaos. There were issues, or I should say there were problems that were coming up at the same time. My phone was ringing at the same time. Somebody was bringing in a piece of paper that I needed to read and sign off on. At the same time, I was getting the instant message. And after I finished that whole process, at that point, I knew, I said, yeah, this is probably not going to be an opportunity for me. I'm good. I did well. I did well enough to get through, but I just knew this is not something that I wanted. But I had to ask that probing question, as most of us curious people do, and say, why did you put me through that simulation if I had no experience in what the role that you were going to eventually have to train and or coach me on? And they said to me something that was powerful. They said, number one, we wanted to see how you handled pressure and not having the skill set to do what you needed to do. How were you going to respond? Were you just going to get so frustrated that you just got up and walked out? Or were you going to stay calm and collective? I was like, this was okay. I mean, I didn't feel any pressure. And then she said, number two, we wanted to see how you handle problem solving on the fly. I said, wow. That brings me to point number one, family, problem solving on the fly. Family, having the ability to handle unexpected issues becomes second nature, with the solutions coming instinctively. It's important, family, when as a project manager, you get used to having to solve problems on the fly. And what I mean solving problems on the fly is, this is the problem. What are some proposed solutions? This is the problem. We're not going to focus on the problem so much, but we're going to start throwing solutions at it. Hey, I wonder if this will work. I wonder if this is going to work. Here's my actionable tip. Rely on your honed problem-solving skills. You're like, I'm new to project management. How can my problem skills already be honed? You've had to solve some type of problem in your life. How did you go about doing it? What was your structure? Did you have a structure, or you were like, hey, this is what I think it is. Let me try this. Okay, that didn't work. Let me try this. That didn't work. What was your structure? So in my actionable tip, I want to recommend that you identify a structure. And if you don't have a structure, or even if you do have a structure, still having the ability to operate, oh, I like this, inside of your structure, as well as outside, because how you solve this problem, you may not be able to solve that problem the same way. So that's imperative. That's a key habit that you want to have as a project manager. Point number two, tracking progress without micromanagement. I smile because I know as project manager, especially my new project manager, this is going to be an uphill battle for you. Hey, listen, if I'm going to be honest with you, it's an uphill battle for our seasoned project managers, because what ends up happening is instead of, ooh, watch this, instead of empowering our team, we end up making them feel less than, because we start micromanaging, because we have pressure on our back to make sure that the scope is, you know, within budget. I mean, excuse me, the scope is, we stay aligned with the scope, we stay aligned with the time, we stay aligned with the budget and quality. I'm referencing the triple constraints. And reason why I say that is so when we get that pressure, the tendency is to push that pressure down onto the team. And that's not good. We should start working as far as creating, here's my actionable tip, I'm already in it, using dashboards or regular status updates rather than consistently and constantly having to check in. And again, this takes time, especially if you have a new team that you're working, you have to be able to set standards. Ooh, and my favorite thing is set the expectations. Hey, listen, I don't want to micromanage you. I feel like we're all adults here. These are the things you said that you were going to do. This is when you said you're going to do them back. Do you need reminders? What do you need from me to ensure, because I can't do the work. So what do you need from me to ensure that you stay aligned? And then give them that opportunity to, or I should say, give them that opportunity to be empowered before you have to start. Because there's some people, yeah, you're going to have to micromanage. I wish you don't. But though the majority of the people, you shouldn't have to micromanage. Point number three, quickly identifying bottlenecks. You know, with experience, project managers can pinpoint where a project is stalling and take swift action. You know, one of my secret sauces is how I know when a project is about to stall is when something comes, let's say something that can be done today, and that person says, oh, I'll schedule a meeting and then we'll talk through it and then we'll make the decision. I'm like, what's the issue? Why we have to wait until tomorrow, and why can't we get them on the phone now? We're both sitting here and having a conversation about something we identify. Why do you want to wait? Hey, let me bring them into the call. And we start working it then and there. So being able, you're able to see things like I just described, because you know if you wait until tomorrow, something else is going to come up where the person you're working with or the team you're working with, they didn't plan for it. Maybe they got pulled away because there was an emergency with regards to another project or even the day-to-day operational work. So it's important as a project manager to be able to identify bottlenecks and being able to create a habit of looking for those. Here's my actionable tip. Develop a habit of regularly reviewing project timelines to catch any potential delays. Point number four, reading the room instinctively. Man, this right here is one of those where if more people did this, especially us project managers, but this goes to anyone in general. Over time, project managers become adept at sensing the mood and the dynamics in the meeting, adjusting their approach as needed. Like when you get to a certain point and you're I'm in a meeting and I can tell that the engagement is very low. I can tell that the team is, they would rather just be on mute if I don't call on them. And you have to be able to see, okay, something is not right here. They're not engaged. I'm doing all the talking. Okay, you just start calling on people. Here's my actionable tip. Use these instincts, your wisdom and experience to gauge when to intervene, motivate, or change courses. This is something, family, over time, you'll develop this habit and it's going to be very useful for you, especially in meetings. I leverage this particular technique more in meetings than I do anything else because of the fact of you need people to collaborate so you guys can have a awesome product at the end. Point number five, consistently practicing active listening. This probably should have been point number one, because a lot of times what ends up happening is people are so quick to solve a problem that they haven't even heard of the problem. Did I just step on somebody's feet? Okay. So what I mean by that is that as I'm sharing the problem with you, instead of listening to it clearly to pick up any signs of maybe things that we could use to solve the problem, right away, you're already looking to solve the problem in your mind and you haven't even given me a chance to articulate what the actual issue is. So then you start doing surface problem solving instead of root problem solving. So it's important, family, when your team members are talking to you, or I should say your stakeholders, your project team is talking to you, actively listen. And actively listening is paraphrasing what you also heard as well. Here's my actionable tip. Focusing on listening without planning your response and summarizing what you heard to ensure understanding. Point number six, be deliberate with meeting agendas. Again, be deliberate with meeting agendas. Having a well thought out agenda can make meetings more effective, but this also, but this can be neglected in the rush to get things done. I'm going to be honest with you, family. Putting meetings into the agendas together are very useful, but they're also frustrating. I'm just being transparent with you because you know what happens. If you haven't, let me break it down to you. So you put a meeting to agenda together. People show up to the meeting. The first question that they ask is, what's this meeting about? Now, you send out the meeting agenda before the meeting or a day before the meeting. You put the meeting agenda in the actual invite, and that question comes up. Now, as a new project manager, what most new project managers would do, they would get mad and frustrated. And the only reason why I know, because I've done it. I've done it multiple. I've even done it as a seasoned project manager, and I had to check myself and say, wait a minute. I didn't get the message out in front of them clear enough for them to understand. So one of the things that you want to do, actionable tip, is spend 5 minutes before each meeting reviewing and refining the agenda to ensure clarity. Another thing that I would also recommend, send the agenda out maybe 5 or 10 minutes before the meeting. If you leverage a platform like Asana or Teams, I'll talk Teams, Microsoft Teams, but I would also create a group chat and send the agenda in there, because you know that's going to get their attention faster than an actual email will. Point number 7, blocking time for deep work. As a project manager, you need to create deep focus sessions so it can help you tackle complex project tasks, as well as it can block time off for you to be able to focus on any foreseen or unforeseen issues or risks that may be coming your way. Here's my actionable tip. Reserve at least 2 hours per week for uninterrupted work on critical tasks. I would recommend doing 30 minutes a day, or if that's too long, do 15 minutes so you can just do quick check-ins with yourself. Point number 8, consistently updating stakeholders. Keeping stakeholders informed is critical, but it's easy to deprioritize when things get hectic and crazy. I know, I've experienced it. So my recommendation is to, or I say my actionable tip is, set up automatic reminders on your calendar so that you'll know to send weekly updates and share a snapshot of progress and concerns. Here's my bonus for you today, family. And then I'll give you my transformational remarks and I'll let you be on your way. Documenting lessons learned continuously. This is a challenge sometimes because when you have an issue, you want to go and solve it. Instead of documenting it first in your lessons learned register and then going and doing that parallel at the same time. So instead of waiting until the end of the project, capture lessons learned in real time to avoid repeating those mistakes. Here's my actionable tip. Dedicate at least 10 minutes or even 5 to 10 minutes of each meeting to discuss key takeaways. Identify if there's any lessons learned that we can add to our lessons learned register to ensure that we don't repeat those same mistakes, or we can also help our fellow project manager out who may have a similar project than us that they can borrow our lessons learned register and learn from it. Here's my 3 transformational remarks. Point number 1, tracking progress without micromanaging. Again, I know it's challenging that you want to micromanage because maybe this is your first PM role. You don't want to make a mistake. But I will tell you, you will lose your team. It's better to empower your team than to micromanage them. Point number 2, problem solving on the fly. As I shared that story about a job opportunity that I had, they wanted to test to see how I handled problem solving on the fly. In so many words, did I become distracted and stressed and, just threw my hands up. So I would recommend, or my actionable tip would be, rely on your own problem solving skills and ensure that you find ways to have a structured approach and an unstructured approach to solving complex challenges. And my last and final transformational remark is, consistently practice active listening, being able to not fall into the trap of just hearing your team instead of actually listening to your team and then taking the time to summarize and or paraphrase what you heard from them. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.